Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 107 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Napoli at the San Siro, which finishes 1-1, goals from Hakan Çalhanoğlu in the 43rd, Scott McTominay in the 23rd, a missed penalty by Çalhanoğlu in the second half, and Napoli stays top of Serie A. Inter is a point behind. A lot of teams there in around first place, really competitive start to Serie A this season. But I think there was a lot of hype coming into this game, and I'm not quite sure that it really delivered. You know, at least for me, I thought I saw a first half where Inter really wanted to go for it and get something from it. And then I thought I saw a second 45 that was very much two managers who were locked in, not really trying to take a bunch of risks. And, you know, kind of just saw the game out. Weren't a lot of huge chances to write home about. So why don't we kick off with this? Are we in a good place where a tie to the current league leaders feels like a loss? Is that a good place to be?
Is that like, are we in that place where it feels like a loss, or are you saying is it a good place to be where it feels like a loss?
The fact that it does feel like a loss, does that say something about Inter being, you know, as far as the quality of the team is concerned, being better than everyone in and around us? Because I think if you look at, you know, 11 match weeks into the season, you're just one point off first. It's not really something that should upset anybody. But the fact that we were so much better than this Napoli side and we only come away with a point, for me, it feels like a loss.
I mean, it 100% feels like a loss. Napoli didn't come to play for a win. Their whole thing was not to lose. That's all they were trying to do, was not lose. They were fine with a draw. They didn't go for it. They didn't do anything special. They literally had two shots, if I'm not mistaken, like the whole game. The Cavada chance that was saved. The one that was a goal, which, you know, if Dumfries sticks his man, I don't know how you let him get loose on you there, especially that near the goal. It just doesn't make sense. And then the one where De Vrij does absolutely nothing to stick to Simeone. Those are their only three chances they had the entire game. They did nothing, absolutely nothing. If they would have stole that game at the end, I would have been even more pissed than I already am. We outplayed them, in my opinion, the entire game. Yes, it looked a little slow in the first half, but they grew into it. You know, some people were saying things that Di Marco didn't look good. I don't know what they were looking at. I thought he was playing extremely well, in my opinion. So, hey, maybe I was watching a different game than some people, but that was a very disappointing game. We did not deserve a draw. They did not deserve a draw. They should have lost. And this is typical of a Conte side, that they're literally just trying to coast their way to a title. They're playing one competition a week. They should have dominated us. We literally are coming off of a game where we played Arsenal midweek, had a hard-fought win against them, and then we outplayed them in a game with less rest. I am not at all impressed with anything I saw from Napoli, and this just proves that they're frauds and, in my opinion, are not real title contenders. They'll finish top four, but they're not real title contenders.
I feel a lot of the same way that you do, as far as like this result doesn't take anything away from my belief that Inter are still very much in it to win it in Serie A this year. And with everything that can be said about what Napoli brought to the table today, as far as just the game of football, right? And listen, we had a strategy against Arsenal where we hunkered down. We knew they couldn't do much to us, and you know, that is what it is. I think it's obviously very different circumstances, given that it's a top of the table clash in a 38 game season, you know, where you know you're going to be neck and neck, like just kind of go for it. So we can say whatever we want to say about what Napoli brought to the game, but I also have a level of disappointment in our team for, or maybe it's more Inzaghi that I'm disappointed in, because it really felt like we were content to see out that last 45 minutes. You know, there was a couple chances, like the Lautaro header. Obviously, we missed the penalty. But you look at some of the substitutions, and it didn't feel like Inzaghi was really going for it. Do you have that same sense? Were you disappointed in the mentality of this team? Did you feel like they were playing for 3 points today?
I do. I don't think until the last two substitutions that I thought that they were content going for the tie. You know, once I saw Arnautovic coming on the pitch, it just felt like, all right, cool, we'll throw in the towel here and kind of walk away with a point each. I didn't like the Darmian for Di Marco substitution. You know, it's interesting. First of all, Mickey stayed on. Don't understand why. Absolutely. Another, in my opinion, horrendous game from him. The misplayed passes. I don't know if he needs contacts. I don't know what it is, but it seems like he doesn't see where people are in the pitch. And there was an opportunity where Di Marco was wide open on the left wing, and he tried to play it to Lauti, and it just gets easily taken away by, I don't remember if it was McTominay or Lobotka, but one of the two. So he gets to stay on for doing nothing when Hakan was, in my opinion, one of the best on the pitch. I understand he's coming off an injury, so I'll allow that one to slide. But then why not bring on Fratesi? That I didn't get.
I don't get why Fratesi today either.
And then Dumfries has a yellow card, and he gets to stay on for the whole 90. Anybody else on the team gets a yellow, whether it would have been Hakan, Mickey, or Barella, yanked. But you leave Dumfries on. Who really? What had he done? What has he done that whole game? And how do you go from playing such a great game against Arsenal to being absolutely, like, maybe he should just be a Champions League player for us. That's literally what it feels like. I think that's all he can do and bring going forward. Whenever he has to go up against any Serie A squad, disappointing. I don't think that we were not going for the win with those substitutions. I was a little disappointed about who was coming off, but I still thought that they had a chance to get all 3 points. But once the second group of substitutions came on, I was like, "All right, you're just giving it up, you know, like you're fine with it." But it's frustrating because they were gonna crack eventually if you just kept your foot on the gas,
kept the pressure. Yeah. I feel like if you were going for the win, you probably would have seen both Fratesi and another guy that now it's getting a little puzzling. Like Tejan for 10, 15 minutes at the end of that game.
Like again, doesn't have 10, 15 minutes in the legs.
Player. I really don't remember a performance that he had last year where I felt like he was a liability defensively. I could not be one. Wrong, but nothing not, is no, coming no, to you're mind not wrong. Where he was. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just, it does feel like Simona has more of the long view here. Just didn't want to give it up. Although we almost saw that the drawbacks of that mentality take shape with the last kick of the game. That if Simona had caught that right, that Rai completely backs off, then you know you didn't want to take the risk, and it would have bit you in the ass anyway, and you would have lost that game. It's a really disappointing performance. The more that I speak about it, I'm getting a little bit more annoyed with it. Okay. Let's I think as far as the game is concerned, you know, recap wise, that first part of the first half, up until Napoli's goal, I thought we were playing the best football that we've played all year. The movement of the ball, the tempo was faster than we've been playing all year. We were pinging that thing all across the park, and it looked really good. Some of those switches from Hakan to DeMarco were beautiful. It just felt like the team was really up for it. And then obviously, you know, a little set piece situation that, I don't know. Are you saying Dumfries could have done better on that set piece situation? Cause I feel like he was being blocked off of his position a little bit. I thought it was a good routine from them, honestly, but do you think Inter should have done better on that? I mean, obviously, but
a any specific percent.
Individual
I mean,
player?
Yeah, obviously it looked like it was a, off the training ground that they had that planned to take that corner that way. So yeah, hats off to them for executing it, but it's like, I don't know how you allow McTominay the space in the 6 yard box. Like you saw Rahmani literally assaulting Thuram when he was in the 6 yard box. I mean, they were both tugging at, like, why are you letting him get in front of you? It doesn't make sense to me how you just lose a man like that in the box. It's a little things like that where you just turn your brain off and aren't focused that drive me insane with Dumfries. But you know, I'm sure other people are going to see it differently. I'm not a fan of that at all.
So Inter goes down 1-0, and then again, dominating the ball, you can't really say it enough, until the 43rd minute when they just, you know, allow Çalhanoğlu some space from distance, and he does what he does, which was an incredible strike, rifled into the top, the top corner. Medet did get a bit of a hand on it. Do you think he could have saved that? Because I feel like that's definitely going to be a topic of conversation for Napoli fans as well.
I mean, I think he definitely could have saved that. He just has, you know, weak hands. I think a goalkeeper who's strong would have been able to at least parry that and keep it out. I don't think, you know, he didn't go into the top corner. I mean, it was, you know, trending that way, but he didn't go strike it so perfectly. The venom was there. Like, it was definitely a powerful shot. And I'm not saying it was an easy save by any means, but he definitely should have saved. Yeah, he definitely should have saved it, though.
We would have expected him to save that.
100%.
A stronger hand to it. Yeah.
And if it was Sommer, we would be complaining about him not, you know, making a save when your team needed it. So.
Yeah. All right. So go into the break, 1-1, second half. Again, Inter's on the front foot. There weren't any like glaring wide open chances, but there were just, you know, a couple instances, and then eventually Dumfries is brought down for a penalty. In your mind, is that the correct call?
If you go based off what was called in the Juve game, yes. Do I still think it was a little soft? Sure, but if you're being consistent, it's still a penalty. Like, yes, he does commit a foul.
Yeah. But that was my exact thinking. It is a foul. It is soft, and you know,
yeah.
Carlo makes the argument all the time on the Italian Football Podcast that some of these fouls in the box don't necessarily warrant, you know, getting a chance from 12 yards to stick it in the back of the net. This feels like one of those situations, because while for me it's 100% a foul, the contact is there. I understand why, you know, some folks might say it's soft. And then, of course, this was bound to happen, right? Hakan misses his first penalty in an Inter shirt. I saw some other people on Twitter say this, but I also noticed that when the referee blew his whistle, it took an abnormally long amount of time for Çalhanoğlu to go up and strike the ball. Did you see that, like, in his run-up? I had a feeling of, like, he's waiting on it a little bit. I don't know if it was overthinking or whatever it might have been.
I don't know, but, I mean, I thought I didn't feel good about it to begin with. I'll be honest. I did tweet it that I had a feeling he wasn't going to score this one. it's unfortunate more than anything. I don't think, you know, I'm not going to read too much into the thought or taking too long. He struck it brilliantly. I mean, you know, the power was so, look how far that ball went. Look, that means he just drilled that thing. Yeah. I would much rather my penalty taker take it that hard than try some little stupid run up and then shoot it right at the keeper. You know, yes, he went a little wide. Yes, that's technically not on target, and people would say that's inexcusable, that you have to get your penalties on target. But listen, he's 19 for 20, 95% success rate. I don't think you're going to find many people who have that currently, that kind of run. So it's unfortunate that it didn't happen in this, but if you look at it too, if he doesn't take that shot and score in the first half, we lose 1-0 anyway. So I mean, I'm not going to really say anything negative about it or hold anything against Hakan. Like you pick your head up and move on.
Not much happened after that. You know, until Simeone's chance in the 94th minute, where Inter could have easily went down, and then you know, that's the game. I do want to talk about these last three matches. Inter in November, 1-0 against Venezia, created a ton of chances there, but again, just the 1-0. Also, could have been a handball. Could have been a, you know, we got lucky against Venezia that it did hit him in the hand. So you have that result. Against Arsenal, you know, you have just the Çalhanoğlu penalty, and then you play defense for the rest of the game. Today, it took a wonder strike from Çalhanoğlu to get us on the board, and then, you know, obviously missing a penalty here. But either way, the results are 1-0 against Venezia, 1-0 against Arsenal, and then 1-1 here against Napoli. Given all the talk about Inter defensively, are you looking at this run of games as a positive, where it's, you know, only one goal conceded in the last three games? Or are you looking at the flip side and saying, okay, well, we've put one in the back of the net in each of these three games, but that's not, you know, that's not good enough?
Yeah, it's definitely not good enough from an offensive standpoint. I don't know what our strikers are doing. It feels like they've both, you know, we knew this was going to happen, that if, you know, if Thuram didn't keep his form up with the way Lautaro had been performing, if they're cold at the same time, the goals are going to dry up. Like you said, it took a wonder strike from Hakan to equalize for us in this one. The last one was a perfectly placed ball by Di Marco to Lauti. So yeah, all right, he scored, but like, It had been 8 months at the San Siro since he had scored. That's not something you want to see from a guy who's supposedly a Ballon d'Or, you know, candidate. Yeah, it's a disappointing thing when you. This was probably the worst performance by both of the forwards combined. Like, this was just not a good one from either of them. You can't keep expecting somebody else to bail you out over and over again. You know, Di Marco had an unfortunate one that also hit the post. Something needs to change up top. I don't know. I'm not saying you sub somebody out or something, but because obviously the guys who come off the bench aren't doing any better. But it's, I don't know. I don't know if you have to, like, I'm not going to say, you know, take a retiro or anything like that, but you have to do something to snap those two guys out of it and get them to find their best form again, because we go as they go in terms of goal scoring. You know, Hakan could have Hakan performances, 10 out of 10s. Barella had a fantastic game, in my opinion. You know, you saw the energy game he was bringing.
Huh? Yeah. He had an amazing game. I mean, some of those touches were unbelievable. Like, no other midfield. Eyes in the back of his head. The back heel that almost came off for Dumfries would have been hot pass of the season. There was one in the second half where he just, like, he's getting pressured. It's just quick little touch with the outside of his boot to get around the defender. Such a quality player. The only player outside of, you know, even Hakan was having a quality game. He misplayed a few passes. So, yeah, anyway,
his long balls but I thought his long balls were solid, and he was finding Di Marco wide and stuff. And But your forwards just, they did nothing. They really did nothing. They didn't create chances. They didn't really play good 1-2s or have good movement in the box. It's a little frustrating, you know, like, what do you need? Your midfielders each to score 10 goals a season now to be able to, like, sustain your, you know, the dry spells you have? It's crazy, you know, but maybe you put Fratesi up top and see what happens. It can't be any worse than what you're getting right now, honestly. And just maybe something to shaking it up or you know, light a fire into these guys, because it's frustrating.
I'm sitting Lautaro down. I'm just sitting him down for a few games.
I'd be okay with that.
The effort is not the same. The effort's not the same. I really do feel like I've seen what a hungry Lautaro looks like, and this doesn't look like a hungry Lautaro to me. He looks like he's waiting for the game to come to him, as opposed to actively trying to impact it. I looked at, you know, on FB Ref just what his last several seasons looked like and what's changed. And he's just not as involved this year as he's been in previous seasons. Touches are way down. Even
he looks
like tackles in the final third are way down. Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what happened to him. But physically, he doesn't look right. Yeah, physically not looking right. Mentally not looking hungry enough. And we constantly talk about the depth in this team. You know, Inzaghi talks about Inzaghi in his press conferences is always talking about just, you know, I have 23 starters and they're all interchangeable. Well, okay, if a player is just super off form, then, you know, let's make that change then. Let's give Taremi needs to score some goals too for his own confidence, for Inter's fans' confidence in him. He absolutely needs some more opportunity, and I don't think it's a bad thing for Lautaro to just sit down and get his mind right. Thuram, several moments of selfishness I thought I saw from him, and I think I've been seeing it from him recently, where it feels like he started the season hot, scoring goals, and then maybe, you know, he just wanted to keep that momentum up and just kept, just feels like he's the one that needs to put the ball in the back of the box, in the back of the net. I don't exactly know what he's doing, but he doesn't look right.
Yeah, I mean, he had two chances where he had clean breaks. One where, in my opinion, it was a foul by Buongiorno. You know, he kind of kicked the ball a little bit further ahead of him.
The second half?
The second half, yeah.
That run that he made, yep.
Yeah, and then the first half, he had another opportunity where he could have laid it off to his left, and he decided to keep it for himself. Yes, you know, it was a little selfish in that regard. I think it still would have been a tough ball to try to play through. But, like, that's a tough one, because, like, if he doesn't get it through, am I frustrated he doesn't get it through, and then I wish he would have been selfish? Like, that one to me was a bit of a catch-22. I don't think he could have won either way. But even with some of his dribbles, like, it just felt like he was a little indecisive on what he wanted to do. He had another one in the second half where he did pull up and wait for his teammates to catch up and kind of played it to the middle. It might have gone to Mickey in that situation. But, like, that one, I would have liked to have seen him try to play that one through to Lauti, because who knows what could have happened there. It also could have been skied 40 feet over the net with the way Lautaro's been playing. I mean, we saw how he whiffed on that cross into the box by Barella. So they just both... What's our next league game? Do you know who it is against?
Actually, I guess I can pull it up. I actually have the fixture list up now because it's Hellas. Verona.
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, Lauti and Thuram sit. I let Taremi and maybe Correa start that one. You know,
you have Leipzig after that as well.
I don't know. I don't know what the right course would be, but that might be the way to go. You know, sit those two forwards down for the game against Hellas and try to see what you can do. Who knows? Maybe even go Taremi. I'm serious. Maybe even go Taremi Fratesi up top.
I was thinking the same thing, but I have another solution here that just popped to mind. Maybe it isn't. It's Lautaro and Thuram's effort, you know, hasn't been super great. But if you're looking back at the games that Inter has had the highest scoring numbers this season, like, let's just look at Empoli, the 3-0. Obviously, they were down to 10 men, but that was a Zielinski game. Inter-Juventus, we scored 4. That was a Zielinski game. Red Star Belgrade, where we scored 4. That was a Zielinski game. So maybe to help unlock Lautaro and Thuram a little bit, it's not by sitting them. Maybe it's by sitting Mickey and letting Zielinski play in his natural position and see if that midfield, just like even against Arsenal in that first half, like when he plays a ball out wide to Dumfries and he ends up hitting the post, like Zielinski has just a passing range in the attacking third that Mkhitaryan doesn't have, that may be the key to unlocking Lautaro. What do you think about that? Like, is that?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I think that could be a solution for sure. Whether I see it actually being played out that way, that's a whole different other story. But I think that would be a solid plan. But again, like, we're obviously not there. We don't know what the conversations are. I wish there were conversations being had that we kind of like could hear about through the media or something like that, or there, you know, Inzaghi talking to somebody from the media to find out about, because he has to see that they're not playing well, the forwards, I mean. He has to see that something is off this season with those guys, that it doesn't have the same magic. I don't know if they have the same motivation or a lack thereof, but I think that some of these difficult conversations need to be had. And, you know, I wish that we were privy to that, even though I know we're not going to be. But it would be nice to kind of know, hey, like, what's going on here?
I mean, you also have Lautaro, you know, speaking out after the Venezia match, like, this isn't good enough, whatever. And then he puts forward a performance like we saw today, where it's like, well, you're part of the problem, Lauti. Like, your effort needs to be better. I also saw, you know, some people looking at the lineup coming into the game saying that, oh, this is our best 11. I don't, you know, along the lines of getting Zielinski in there more, I think the best 11 is still with Zielinski in a midfield with Hakan and Barella and seeing how that works. So let's see how that shakes out. All right, let's talk about some of these players here. Acerbi returns for the first time in several games. I thought he was amazing. I thought he was great. I thought he completely shut down Lukaku. The passing was as crisp as it's ever been. I thought he was also super attentive and bailing out his teammates, especially that Çalhanoğlu pass right to Lukaku. You know, he tracks back and is able to get to the ball. So, just this one performance from him felt better than what we've seen out of De Vrij for the last 3 weeks. But what do you think of Francesco's return to the lineup today?
No, I'd have to agree. Very pleased with his performance. I thought he was so solid defensively. Made a huge last-ditch effort tackle there that could have put Napoli back in front. So very happy with that. I thought his distribution was very good. And it felt like the other guys were able to have a little bit more of a presence going forward, and there was more calmness in the back with him back there than there is with De Vrij. And you saw once De Vrij took over the middle, just the lack in focus that you know can happen there. So very pleased with Acerbi, you know, returning, and I'm still apologetic for being so negative on his arrival to begin with. So glad he continues to be somewhat of an ageless wonder, although you could tell, you know, that, you know, the legs aren't staying as strong as they used to, but that's expected. So I hope that he can continue this form going forward for us, because, you know, he's going to have a big part to play.
We kind of touched on most of the other players. We touched on, you know, Hakan, Mickey, but the whole midfield. We did touch on the wingbacks here. So what about some of these subs that came on? So obviously Zielinski, Taremi, De Vrij, Darmian. Any one of the subs stand out for you today?
I guess just Zielinski. You know, I thought that he was doing a really good job with distributing the ball as well. He was dropping his shoulder, creating space for himself to be able to absorb pressure and kind of slip away from it. So he's probably the only guy that I was having. That Emmy, I didn't really notice much. Obviously,
I don't know why we didn't notice them. These were some super late substitutions.
Yeah, 82nd. That's accurate.
82nd that's minute. Accurate. Three substitutions made in the 82nd minute. And two substitutions made in the 89th minute, which is very atypical of Inzaghi. Waited too long to make those changes.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree.
But yeah, maybe like that it was, you know, maybe it wasn't really that he was trying to impact the game, because if he was, those subs would have been made earlier. Like maybe, you know, it speaks to the mentality of really trying to hold what was going on there. Because it just, like, what's Taremi going to do in 8 minutes? Just not enough time.
Yeah.
All right, what about Bastoni? He's the one that gets the assist today for laying it off to Calhanoglu, but they talked about him a good amount on the broadcast. That he's not, you know, you see his name go up as a center back on the team sheet, but obviously he doesn't play like that. I thought he was one of the better players today. FotMob and SofaScore has him as our MVP for the day. So what did you make of Bastoni's performance?
Yeah, another solid game from Alessandro. He's, you know, he's been one of my favorite players so far this season. Didn't really make mistakes. Had a few good crosses into the box. I wish he would have been taking some of these early crosses that he likes to do a little bit more often. Mm-hmm. But I guess when your strikers aren't really informed, you don't even want to like bother trying to put it in the box, perhaps. So, but yeah, very, very good.
7 of 8 on long balls, so was finding a way to make an impact today. All right, so as things stand in Serie A, let's pull up the standings here. So Inter 1 point behind first place, but currently sitting in fourth, given that even the fifth place team is 1 point behind Napoli. So Atalanta, Fiorentina, Inter, and Lazio all sitting on 25 points. Juve 2 points behind off the lead. You know, and Milan sitting 18 points. I think at this point, we can rule out Milan as a serious contender for the Scudetto. I think they're going to struggle even for top four. But who are the real challengers for the title this year? Obviously, 1 through 6, it's all bunched up. It's all within 2 points. But I don't think all six teams are going to be in the race for it. So come April next year, which of these teams do you think are realistically going to still be standing?
I think it's still going to be just Inter and Atalanta. I don't see Napoli staying in this. I think they're going to continue to drop points against teams that are in the top six. I don't, you know, and I think you have to win more of those games than not. At least 9 of those. I'm sorry. At least 8 of those. And they've already lost one and drawn another. So that means they would have to win out, you know, they'd have to beat Atalanta at Atalanta. They'd have to beat us in Napoli. And then have they, I don't even know. Actually, they didn't they draw with Juve too? It was like a snooze fest. I think that was a draw.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So like they're still just dropping points against the, I don't see them staying, you know. They'd have to literally beat every other team over and over again to win it. I don't see that. I think they'll finish third. And I honestly think Fiorentina has a possibility to crack top four.
Now, my next question was going to be, do you think Fiorentina or Lazio, like which of those? Because those are the surprise teams, right?
Yeah.
Juventus, Inter, Atalanta, Napoli. I think everyone thought that they would be in it, you know, to challenge for the title. But you have
only
Fiorentina
one person
and Lazio
had the balls to
around.
Say Atalanta would finish second.
You did. Can't take that away from you. But I really like Lazio. I really, really like Lazio. I think that they're a really well-built side. I think they're good defensively. I think they have a lot of young, interesting players. I think Baroni's a really good coach. I do see some staying power here. I don't know that they're going to be more than maybe 8 to 10 points off of first place. And that should be enough for top four, but I think that they'll be in the mix. Fiorentina, I feel less confident in, because I do think that, you know, defensively things will rear their heads here. And Juventus, yeah. Like, what do you feel about them at this point?
Frauds. I think Thiago Motta made a huge mistake leaving Bologna. I think if they kept the band together at Bologna for at least a year, you know, who knows what could have happened. It's I mean, you see how poorly they are, Bologna that is, are playing. You know, it is somewhat of
they
a
did,
dead squad.
They did
but
get Juric fired, though.
They did get Juric fired, but you know, Italiano's probably, you know, I don't see him having staying power either. Yeah, it'll be I think they're going to be a Europa League team. I'm being 100% honest. I think Lazio or
is slipping out of the top four.
Yeah, I think Lazio or Fiorentina could steal that fourth spot. And I mean for my own bank account, I'm rooting for Lazio for obvious reasons. But you know, it's even though I just said Fiorentina, but I forgot about, honestly, I was not even thinking about Lazio. So now that, yes, Nuno Tavares has been phenomenal. Rovella finally got his national team call-up, which I think is much deserved.
Well deserved, yep.
He's been an incredible player this season, and anyone who doesn't see that is insane. And you know what? And Tati's been solid up top, and then you got Bulay Dia coming off the bench who could also, you know, chip in goals. And like you said, defensively,
that would be
they've been solid.
That would be a player that Inter could really use.
Dia?
Bulay Dia. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't he 10 million?
Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they've got you know, they've got some guys in that team that are unheralded. Look at Pedro. The guy looks like he's been drinking from the fountain of youth. He scores last minute winners, you know, game in and game out. So I could see them stealing fourth, man. And I would want them to get fourth, obviously, over Juventus. I would like to see them, you know, struggle. And then it's like, hey, look at all that money you spent, and you're still trash. So, you know, congratulations, you play champagne football, and you put up, you know, apple cider results. So, good for you guys.
So, from the last international break, we knew what we had ahead of us was 7 games in 20 days, and we knew it was going to be a tough run. So, we've come to the end of it. We're heading into the international break, and this is what the results look like for those 7 games in 20 days. 1-0 win over Roma away from home. 1-0 win at Young Boys, last minute Champions League winner. 4-4 tie, what we're up 4-2, that's dropped points. 3-0 over an Empoli side that was playing with 10 men. 1-0 over Venezia in a performance that was not convincing. 1-0 over Arsenal in a performance where we, you know, rested our guys, but we also decidedly took the let's pack it in and force them to beat us mentality, and then 1-1 against Napoli. From a results perspective, that's a pretty good run for 7 games, 5 wins and 2 draws. From a performance perspective, if you look at the context of all these games, you know, I think Inter fans could make an argument for being a little bit worried. Where do you stand after this run of games with this team?
Yeah, it's a little concerning. You know, we probably should have gone 7-7 in terms of results, but even the performances themselves haven't been great. outside of, you know, I would say the Arsenal game, where I thought that we were in control from start to finish. You know, they were, like you, like we said, they were just spamming crosses. So it wasn't like they were really any threat to us. So I think we deserved to beat Juve. That was a very disappointing result to cough up those two late goals.
Yep.
This one against Napoli, another disappointing result, because I thought we outplayed them for the entirety of the game. And it's something that you just, like, we keep saying it. We hope they figure it out after the international break. And yes, even though the results have improved, the performances haven't. And, you know, if you really want to win back-to-back titles, the performances have to improve. You need Lauti to go on a streak of like 6 goals in 4 matches type of thing. You know, like, he needs to heat it up. Thuram needs to step up. Taremi needs to chip in. Like, everybody needs to elevate their game. And then hopefully that, that can start like a nice little run of form where they can rattle off, you know, maybe 9 out of 10, you know, 9 wins and 1 draw or something like that. Because you need to either start or get to first and then build a gap, or start separating yourself from the rest of the pack in one way or another, whether that even is in second place and just kind of keeping up with whoever's in first. Because I think once February comes around, you'll know for sure who the real contenders are. And if we want to be a part of that, we need to go on a good run here.
And this 5-2 could have very easily been 3-3. You needed a last minute goal against Young Boys. You got, you know, something to go your way against Venezia in the dying minutes. So, yeah, it's a strange feeling to be in. I think a lot of us would have said coming into this point of the season, yes, I'll take being 1 point off of first place in Serie A. I'll take no goals conceded in the Champions League, you know, 3 wins and a draw.
Is it just, who's the other team that hasn't conceded a goal?
Sorry. Atalanta. Yeah.
So Serie A showing up. Okay.
Serie A showing up. Yep. It's a weird feeling. Results are there. The team is in contention for the objectives that we wanted coming into the year. But there is room for improvement. I think that's a good place for us to leave off. Anything that we should tell the listeners here?
I'm just finishing up bidding on that DiMarco card I said I'm going to do the giveaway for. That's going to close in a couple hours. I'm also going to include a first on the print number to 25 orange foil Ivan Perisic. So.
Nice.
Limited edition. That'll be included with the DiMarco card. And if you haven't gotten your Capitoto shirt, I just bought mine. Or maybe you don't want to support him because he's been playing like trash. I don't know. I was hoping that if I wore this, he would have scored a goal. But they are super comfy. Like, I feel like this is the kind of shirt that you would love to, like, lounge around the house in, sleep in, go out in, and feel still comfortable. Our listener JR Bell did an incredible job with these.
She's the best.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about what she does. Yeah, I'll put the link again in this episode if anyone's interested to pick one up. She's also got some other cool designs. If you're just want regular Inter ones that aren't Lautaro, Lautaro focused or something. And this this design was done by our friends over at Interclub Boston. And if you're in the Northeast area too, hit them up, go watch a game with them, get to know them. They're pretty cool guys over there as well. So even though they seem to be Arsenal fans as well, but it's kind of funny.
What? It's a big accusation to make. All right. Yeah, we will see you guys after the international break. Maybe we'll do a Q&A episode in between. Sorry we didn't have time to get to anybody's questions. Got to be in and out here, but Appreciate you guys all for listening, as always. And in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.